How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are the Reigning Jays, John Corrales and Jay King. Thanking you for listening to us and subscribing wherever it is you listen to your podcast, iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom, Stitcher, TuneIn. Each time we mention this, it feels like there's another one added to the list, but wherever you are listening to our podcasts and rating them and subscribing and telling your friends, we appreciate very much that you are doing this and making us part of your routine. Lots to get to today. It all involves the new NBA schedule that just was released. By the time you listened to it a few hours ago, this was released about a couple hours from when we're recording this. Talk about the Celtics, what they've got coming up, when Al Horford goes back to Atlanta. I do want to remind you guys that we have other shows on the podcast network here, Locked On NBA. Check that for all your NBA needs. Lots of great stuff there. If you are a fantasy fan, we have a Locked On Fantasy podcast dedicated specifically to making you the best fantasy GM out there. And just as an aside, if you are a Patriots fan, football season is getting underway. Locked On Patriots is part of the network, our brother podcast, Locked On Patriots with the Herald's Jeff Howe. Very good show, very good podcast. But we are here to talk about the NBA schedule. So, Jay, initial thoughts here. We've got the big thing for me. The Celtics have 22 nationally televised games. We're back, baby!
I mean, back with fewer national televised games than the Lakers, but still back.
I mean, look, why do you got to do that? We're excited, man. This is a happy time. I don't care when the Lakers are on TV.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Julius Randle and D'Angelo Russell and Timofey Mozgov will be on national TV more than the Celtics. It's weird to me that the NBA still schedules national TV games based on the market. When, like really, who cares? I don't know.
Well,
to me, the Lakers shouldn't be on national TV. Obviously, they have the numbers. And it makes sense to them. But the Lakers, the Knicks, come on, man. Those teams stink.
Yeah. But look, it's TV. It's all about getting the ratings. It's all about pulling in some numbers. The Lakers have a national following, an international following. They've got some young players that their fans want to see. And casual fans, I've been seeing what those guys do together. Not 20 plus times per season, but we're different, man. I get league pass. I can watch the Lakers whenever I want, really. But, you know, whatever. Let them be on TV if Celtics fans can click them off. But
yeah, the Celtics are back, baby.
Are, and especially for those of you who are not in Boston, if you're watching from around the world, this is great because not everyone can afford League Pass. Not everyone has the ability to get League Pass. Now you've got 22 nationally televised games, TNT, ESPN. So now you have an opportunity to watch your team much more often. This is great.
What's cool to me is they're back on Christmas.
That's a big one.
That's the big one. And obviously it's against the Knicks, who, despite Derrick Rose's claims of being a super team, aren't great. But back on Christmas is big time. Like that's to me more than any amount of national TV games. That's saying your team is one of the best, the 10 biggest draws or whatever it is. And obviously they're going to be one of the 10 best teams probably. And so they deserve to be on that Christmas day. I would have liked a Toronto Celtics showing, and maybe that doesn't get as many viewers as Celtics Knicks, But to me, like Celtics-Toronto, probably number 2 versus 3 in the East, that's a much better basketball game than Celtics.
Yeah, better basketball game. But now you've got Boston versus New York on Christmas, two huge markets going up against each other. And look, that is really the unofficial beginning of the season. You know, we know the season begins at the end of October, but Christmas Day is when the league really kicks in, and now we're starting to see all of these marquee matchups. And for all of our discussions about the Knicks, they are better, and people in New York are excited about the Knicks, to at least more excited than they have been. So you've got all of the new signings.
Those poor Knicks fans.
Yeah, they've been through.
More excited than they have been. That's like huge for them.
It's the best season since Linsanity for them. So,
oh man,
it's true. So
yeah, they might get to the playoffs.
They
this
might
year. Big season for the Knicks.
They might. So that I'm with you. I'm happy. They're the first game. It's the noon game on Christmas, so they get to kick off the festivities. But that's good, because now you'll have something to do when you're avoiding your family for a few hours and just, you know, you have your little meal or whatever, you go and you watch the game, and then you've got a distraction. Am I saying too much about myself here? Or maybe people spending time with their family.
Yeah. This will be my first Christmas Day game that I'm covering. So I was kind of hoping that they'd stay away from the Christmas Day game forever, but I kind of knew this day was going to come where I was going to be pulled away from my family. And that's cool, because that means the Celtics are good and they're good again.
I'm joking about the family stuff. It's just fun to do. This is going to be great. You know what's going to be great about this for mothers and fathers and sons and daughters? This is going to be one of those early memories. Sitting down at noon on Christmas Day 2016, there are going to be kids around Boston, around the country, around the world, who will say, I remember my first Celtics game was sitting there watching with my mom, my dad, or both, or whatever, and there's this really cool family moment. And this is where fans for life get hooked. So I'm excited for the Christmas Day thing and the national TV thing, because that's how new Celtics fans are made, where moms and dads can sit their kids down in front of the TV and say, see, this is awesome.
Everyone remembers where they were when Joakim Noah missed 4 consecutive layups.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
Merry Christmas.
Let's take a look at the schedule here and some other games of note. So obviously, this is fun. The Celtics open up the season against the Brooklyn Nets.
I love it. Like, just start 1-0 start, automatic. And you get to see just how bad the Nets are going to be.
Let's hope it's automatic. So, we thought there were automatic games last season, too.
Yeah, but like, in the middle of the season is different than the first game of the year. If they had played the Brooklyn Nets last year, first game of the year, they would have smacked him, just shoved him out of the way. I'm going to go with 17-point victory opening night for the Celtics.
Yeah. I won't argue that one. I think so. At home, Horford's big debut, I think so. That'd be great. Rondo comes back to town on November 2nd, if people still care about that. The Celtics do play the Knicks before Christmas on November 11th. Oklahoma City, a couple days before the big Christmas game, Oklahoma City makes their only trip to Boston on December 23rd. Other games of note, January 13th, Al Horford goes back to Atlanta for the first time as a Celtic. What kind of reaction do we think he's going to get?
I would say a big reaction. I think they'll give him a huge, huge hand. Like, obviously, the end didn't go well, but for 9 years, he's been probably their best player since what? Dominique Wilkins? Like, you could go with Dikembe Mutombo. You could go with, like, Steve Smith, I guess. But I would say Al Horford has been the most significant player in their history since Dominique Wilkins. And that's a big deal. Like, you don't you don't give him a bad reception.
You don't think
when he comes back. I think they give him a standing ovation. They give him a video tribute. They have to do it. And who actually show up on time and stuff.
Yeah. No, that's true. I agree with you, but you know how it gets.
Yeah. But look, they'd already signed Dwight Howard by the time he signed with the Celtics. Like, if they hadn't done that and kind of pushed him away, maybe. But it was clear, like, there was something weird going on there. It wasn't like they offered him the full max from the get-go and made him their priority. They did not do that. So I think you have to give him full round of applause, full standing ovation, full video tribute. He's a class act. He's a four-time All-Star. He took your team farther than it's been in I don't know how many years, maybe ever. So, yeah, he needs a huge ovation.
I would agree. I would agree. But like I said, you know how people get. I do also agree that the Hawks kind of botched that entire free agency. It was almost like the Clippers botched the DeAndre Jordan free agency, except the Clippers had more time to rectify that mistake, and the Hawks didn't. So I kind of make that comparison. So I think most fans in Atlanta would kind of understand that and thank him for the time that he had there. But somebody will boo him there, especially nowadays. I feel like he'll get booed. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes. Other games of note, just to fly through the rest of this: the Lakers. If you're looking forward to that Lakers Celtics rivalry, 2-3. That game, February 3rd, and the Celtics out in California a month later, March 3rd. LeBron visits March 1st. Celtics are out west at the beginning of March, the 3rd through the 10th. KG potentially makes his return one last time, maybe, possibly, on March 15th. Celtics have their longest homestand of the season, March 20th through the 31st. And then they end the regular season at home against the Bucks, April 12th. Those to me are games of note. Jay, I don't know if you have any others that you want to throw in there, but those are just when certain games of note are going to happen.
I like those. I think we've talked about this before, but if Pierce and KG come back, those need to be treated like they're retiring no matter what.
Absolutely.
Like, those need to be absolute standing ovations all the time. Like, give them the full tribute, because I think it's pretty clear that neither of those guys are coming back for another year after this one. It's possible they both come back for one more year. I don't think they're coming back for two. I would be shocked if they come back for two.
I should note, because I don't think I mentioned this, the Clippers in Boston, Sunday, February 5th.
Super Bowl Sunday.
That's Super Bowl Sunday? So it's a 2 p.m. game. So that's why it's a 2 p.m. game. So you can watch the Celtics and maybe Pierce's last game in Boston at 2. And then afterwards, you can watch the Patriots win the Super Bowl. And then
there you go.
And then what you do is you listen to Locked On Patriots afterwards for the immediate reaction from Jeff Howe. You see how I slid that in there?
I like that. Or you could listen to us for, like, Celtics-Clippers reaction. And we'll probably give you our Super Bowl reaction, too, because we're those type of guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Full service here. Full service. So another couple of quirks that I wanted to mention. So the NBA has made a priority of reducing these four games and five night stretches and reducing back to backs, which they have. The Celtics have 17 back to back games. Those are unavoidable. Down from 19 last year. Here's the funny thing about that. Of the 17 back to backs, three of them happen within the first 13 games of the season. So within the first 13 games, you get three back-to-backs, and they start the season with three games and four nights right away. Boom, three games and four nights. In those back-to-backs are games that involved the Clippers. I mean, not the Clippers, I'm sorry, the Cavaliers and the Warriors. So the Celtics get the Cavaliers on the back end of a back-to-back on November 2nd and 3rd. And then the Warriors just happen to be involved in one of these back-to-backs. They kick off a back-to-back Friday, November 18th. And then the Celtics go to Detroit the next night on November 19th. So, busy start to the season. Busy start to the season. We'll just put it that way.
You're not going to beat the Warriors anyway, so might as well play them on a back-to-back.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
They said that last year, and the Celtics beat them at home.
By the way, are you a big schedule release guy?
Not really. I joked about this on Twitter, but I like Larry Bird's line, 41 home, 41 away. Looks good to me. But it's nice to see. I like it because I get to kind of plan things out and see, because I don't cover the team in the garden or on the road on a daily basis. So I get to see which games I might want to go to. And I like taking some road trips. So I might try to get down to that Atlanta game. I might try to get to some of these arenas that I've never been to and kind of check those things out. But it's kind of cool to plan things out, but it's not the hugest deal in the world to me.
Yeah, I'm not a schedule guy. I'm not a schedule guy at all. Like, they're going to play all these teams. The exact dates, who cares to me? Like, big on that Larry Bird quote. 41 home, 41 away. That's all I need, man.
But like I said, looking at this from the perspective of someone who doesn't cover the team, you go to all of the games. But for, you know, when you're sitting here, you're listening to this podcast and you're looking at the schedule and you're trying to see, oh, this game sounds good, this game sounds good. We're talking about, in some cases, saving up to go to a game. Which game do I get to go to? I want to go see whatever team. Oh, it's on a Wednesday. I can't do that on a Wednesday. Or it's on a Monday. I can't do that on a Monday. So it's good to kind of get a sense of when these games are. And then if you have the ability to go on the road and take in, like, I was looking forward to maybe doing a Texas Triangle trip, but they don't have one of those trips this year. I've been looking through. They visit the Spurs on December 14th, but they're in OKC a few games before. I was hoping they'd do a Houston, Dallas, San Antonio stretch where I could go kind of hang out in Texas for a few days.
And yeah, you wanted them to go 0-3.
No, I want to go watch them play basketball, and I like going to these games on the road. So I think, obviously, I love going to the Garden, but it's fun to go see other arenas, kind of go represent the Celtics, put my gear on, walk around, you know, talk some smack to some of the fans and kind of get a sense of what the other team's fans are like and all of that stuff.
What's your favorite arena?
My favorite,
besides the Garden.
My favorite non-Celtics arena has been, I haven't been to a ton yet, but I like Brooklyn's arena. It's kind of cool. It's dark. It's different. It's got
brick. No one goes and no one cares.
But
like,
that's
it's an awesome arena. The actual arena is awesome, like amazing. But the atmosphere is disgusting. A couple years ago, Celtics and Nets played a game for like playoff positioning. It was toward the end of the year, like a couple weeks left, maybe even less. And they were both jockeying for seventh or eighth. And, like, it was just no one cared. Not a single person cared.
I haven't been to a ton of games in a lot of different places yet. So this is why I'm looking forward to a lot of these road games, because I want to add them to my roster. I've been to Madison Square. I've been to Brooklyn. I've been to Orlando. Where else? I've been to Washington. And that's it. I've been the only time I was in Dallas for the All-Star weekend. That doesn't count, but I've been in their building. So, but that's kind of like an asterisk. But I haven't been to any of these other arenas. So,
all right.
Yeah. So aesthetically, I like Brooklyn. The Garden is the Garden, you know, Madison Square. That's kind of an interesting scene. But
I like it there because there's like no, like, you go to other places and they like pump in the fan noise. Madison Square Garden, it's about the basketball.
Yeah.
And people seem to know what they're talking about. They know what they're doing. It's the fans who drive the noise there. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I'm a big Madison Square Garden guy. Even though obviously the Knicks haven't been great for a long time, I'm a big Madison Square Garden guy.
Yeah, yeah. That's a nice place to watch a game. So I mean, look, I'd like to get to Philly. Which, you know, I want to get to Toronto. I think I kind of want to work my way around, but I definitely want to go see some of these other arenas and see how they are. I'd love to go to Oracle one of these days and just take it in, man. I want to take
nuts.
It in, and it, especially now with this team. But I don't know if I could get in. That's the big thing. I mean, I could get out there, you know, find my way out to Oakland, but I don't know. I don't know about getting in there. I'd love to go to Oklahoma City. They're crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts there too.
You know, place I'd love to. You know where I'd love to go watch a game? Portland. Portland's going to be an amazing place to watch basketball. Those fans are crazy about their team, and so I'd love to, and they've got a really good team. So
those are three of the best you just named.
Yeah,
yeah.
It just and you can tell from TV, and those are the types of places I'd love to go experience. I've heard Utah is a wild place to watch a game. Like they get really passionate in Utah.
Utah's even wild during Summer League.
Yeah.
Like they host Summer League, and when the Jazz team plays, it's like they're nuts. It's like a playoff game almost. It's out of control.
Yeah. If we're talking about arenas, obviously going to the Garden in Boston, where you're among your own fans and we know what Celtics fans are like in the Garden. It's mayhem on an almost nightly basis. It's very rare when it's not mayhem, but great non-Celtics arenas. A lot of those, the ones that I just mentioned, I think are high on my list to go check out.
Yeah, those are all good ones.
You know, and then of course I'd love to go to Minnesota. I'd love to go to everyone. Like there's no place I wouldn't want to go. Although I got to tell you, the Verizon Center in Washington, I did not enjoy that. I did not enjoy that.
It's a weird feel there. Although it's like no one cares about the Wizards for some reason.
Right.
And even when they were pretty good a couple of years ago, no one really cared. The best part about the Wizards Celtics game was, so I think it was this past year, there were like a pocket of Celtics fans that started Celtics cheers. And then all of a sudden that ignited some Wizards fans who started getting rowdy. And it was like near brawls in the fans. but it was awesome. Another place that's awesome is Indiana.
The Pacers
arena is fantastic. They have like a college atmosphere. They have like chants going through. Really cool in Indiana, especially when they're good. It's awesome to watch a game there.
I think it would be great just as a basketball fan to coordinate something one of these upcoming years. Go catch a Pacers game, and it doesn't matter who they're playing. And then catch some Indiana college games, like more than one college. Go to like Indiana, go to, you know, a couple of games, even like a high school game. Like I want to get the full Indiana Hoosier basketball experience.
Gotta go to Butler for Brad Stevens.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Like I kind of want to, I think it would be so awesome just as a pure basketball nerd to take a week, go to Indy. And Indianapolis is a nice city from what I'm told. I've friends and people I've worked with over time that have gone there and have enjoyed the city. I've actually looked for work in Indy a while back and did some exploring, and it seemed like a really nice place. So it's not the middle of nowhere. So you can go there and catch
I always tell people Indianapolis is my favorite stop.
Really?
On the NBA tour.
Really?
And people look at me like I'm nuts. Like you must be out of your mind. But for me, I go there and I just want a good restaurant, convenient to the arena, and a fun arena. Just somewhere where you can go and enjoy watching basketball. And to me, Indiana checks all my boxes. I'm a big, big Indiana fan.
Yeah. See, I think it'd be cool to go get a place. And I don't know the proximity to some of the colleges around there, or where Butler is in relation to.
It's right there.
Great, great. So perfect. So that sounds like a pretty good plan. I think take a few days off and go stay in Indy. enjoy it. Seems like a nice place. Go catch a Pacers game, catch a Butler game, maybe catch an Indiana game. And if the schedule lines up where you can do that, I think that would be.
You got to go to Indiana State just for Larry Bird.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
Got to.
Of course.
Got to.
Of course. And you have to got get to. Myself an Indiana State Bird jersey. Like, I have to do all of that stuff. Like, that's a pilgrimage. That, to me, is a basketball pilgrimage. Think about all the boxes that it checks off. Like you were saying, like, a Butler for Brad Stevens. Obviously, an Indiana game. Hell, if you could do Indiana and Boston, that'd be amazing. And then you go, you got to catch an Indiana college game because they're iconic. Indiana State, that's a hell of a trip. I got to look at that. That'd be fun.
Yeah, you're doing it right. If you do that, you're doing it right. Another low-key awesome, maybe not low-key, Toronto is a great spot to watch a basketball game.
I am dying to go to Toronto. I am dying to go to Toronto. And I think as I leaf through this Celtics schedule, a Toronto trip is definitely something that's going to have to happen. If not this upcoming season, then next season. Like, they've got,
yeah,
trying to see if they have any
that, road that's
games.
Become an electric arena.
Yeah. Friday, February 24th. Awesome. There we go. Friday, February 24th. It's nice. It's a Friday. Go there, spend a weekend. Now, this is great. You go from Friday to Sunday. You go to Detroit. I don't know if I really want to be in Detroit, but
no, you don't. You definitely don't.
But the Palace of Auburn Hills.
Yeah, but it's like an hour away from the airport. It is the most inconvenient stop on the NBA. Yeah, no, it's brutal. Don't ever bother yourself by going to.
But I have to go at least once. I have to go at least once.
I mean, maybe once they get really good. Don't even worry about it until then.
Gotcha. All right. Well, maybe this end of February Toronto trip. But look, this is me talking. I find a reason to go to a lot of these places. Hell, I'd love to go to New Orleans because I'd love to go to New Orleans, first of all. Second of all, I want to go see Anthony Davis play, and I think the tickets there are pretty easy to get.
Yeah. The what is it? Smoothie Center? Some smoothie
the Smoothie
Center?
King Center.
Yeah. Yeah, the Smoothie King Center.
With their terrifying baby mascot.
Yeah, hopefully they'll have a better team this year.
Man, I mean, for Anthony Davis's sake, and of course, look, if he becomes the next star that is disgruntled and somehow the Celtics in their path can land him someday, that's great. But I want to see him be part of a great team somehow, some way, because I like watching great players do great things. So.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve that crew. They
no,
put on.
No, he does not. No, he does not.
The like Tyreek Evans and 12 injured guys show. Anthony Davis deserves a lot better than that. Like, yes. Luke Babbitt, they're trotting Luke Babbitt out there. Jesus Christ, guys. Give Anthony Davis a good team. Please, please, please. He's too good for that crap.
He's too good to be dealing with that. But I would say a trip to New Orleans. I always say about New Orleans is what people think Vegas is. Like, Vegas is not what you think it is. If you've never been, you have this picture in your head. That's actually what New Orleans is. Vegas is much more corporate and glitzy now. But that's an aside. Well, I'd love to hear from you, and I want you to tell me what your fantasy road trip is. So tweet me, tweet Jay. At @RedsArmy_John, @ByJKing. Tweet us, leave a comment on one of our posts somewhere. I'm kind of curious now. I want to hear what your fantasy basketball trip, like I was talking about that Indiana Pacers trip. I think if you could do that Indiana trip, that four-stop basketball pilgrimage, that would be an awesome basketball trip. If you have a different idea, let me know. Let Jay know. Let us know. I want to hear about it because I think it's a cool topic. In the meantime, check out the schedule. Buy your tickets. We'll have deals for you, by the way, as the season gets closer, to get tickets on the cheap. So stay tuned for that. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Audio Boom, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe if this is your first time listening. Thank you very much. Thank you. Go rate us on iTunes. That really helps us out, and we very much appreciate the 5-star ratings. Again, check out the podcast on the rest of the network, Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy, for all your fantasy sports needs. If you're a Patriots fan, check out Locked On Patriots. And that will do it for us this time around. We, the Rain and Jays, thank you for listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.